It's good to be back, and it is really nice that we will be meeting once again on the first Wednesday of each month. And I know a lot of you are involved in your classes, but this gives us an opportunity to connect with one another as a bigger group. And I don't know about you, but it's needed in my life and probably all of our lives. So, on the first Wednesday of every month, we will be meeting in here, and we'll have like a shorter teaching and a long time of fellowship, which we miss out on typically on Sundays because a lot of us just get on with our day and rush out the door, and there's too many people or whatever it is. And this gives us a better opportunity to fellowship with one another and to meet people that maybe we haven't met yet, to connect with them. And we will have a theme each month. And beginning tonight, we have a little gift for each person here tonight. And they are scripture cards that will, with a little stand, that will go with the teaching of the evening. So by the time we're through at the end of spring, we'll have several scripture cards that, you know, will just help us to remember maybe what the Lord's spoken to us. It'll help you memorize a verse or whatever. And they're cute, they're pretty. So on your way out tonight, you'll be able to grab that. I think when you came in, you should have been directed when you were getting your name tagged to, we have two very nice little pumpkin plant things, however you would describe those. Anyway, they're a giveaway. So I think you were supposed to write your name on a little thing and drop it in the thing. If you didn't do that, do that right afterward, and we're going to have a little drawing for you to walk away, well, two of you, because there are two of them, I think, walk away with an extra little gift. And since we are meeting on these first Wednesdays, and there's women who are making it look very nice and festive, depending on our theme, and of course, it's fall, so what a wonderful theme to fall in love with Jesus, because he never leaves you. I never think of things like this. People have to tell me, and then I have to put the pieces together and go, ah, yes, okay. But anyway, if you would like to help, to serve on these nights or beforehand, to get some things ready, a lot of you like to do things like that. We would love your help. And when you serve, it also connects you with other women. So there's going to be a sign-up list on that table when you go out. You can just jot your name and your number, and you'll get called next month. And speaking of next month, that will be the only month that we're not meeting on the first Wednesday. We're going to meet on the second Wednesday. It's to totally confuse you right off the bat. So instead of the first part of first whatever number that would be in December, it'll be on the 13th, the second week, because that gives enough time to bring in more of the Christmas theme. Okay? So I think that was it for my announcements. So, as I mentioned, falling in love with Jesus again and again. I don't know about you, I think with a lot of people, but we're all different. Fall is my favorite season of the year. I love the four seasons. I love to see the four seasons, but fall is the my favorite one. Probably it started when I was born, because I was born in October. And so, of course, if you were born in the spring, that might be your favorite season. But, you know, you go back, because my mom always gave me a birthday party, and it was always pumpkins and leaves and, you know, the fall theme. So, of course, you're going to like it. And I love the feel of fall in the air after a very hot summer. Even when it's still warm, it feels different when we're heading into fall. There's that different feel in the air, which I love. I love the leaves that turn these brilliant colors. You know, you go in certain parts of Modesto and certain trees are just like, we see them every year, but every year you're just like, wow, look at that color. I mean, it's beautiful, and it causes you to worship because God is the one who made them all. And then I love the leaves that are falling and blowing. I mean, it's just such a nice little sight of them, the colors and then to go out, maybe have them fall on you, or you walk through them and you crunch them or play in them or whatever. I love that. And I love the smell of fall, if a season can have a smell, but fall does to me. Cinnamon, of course, fall, it's cinnamon, cloves, pumpkin pie spice, pumpkin anything is the smell of fall. And then the cool mornings, warmer afternoons, and cool evenings. I just can't wait to get my flannel jammies on and get a blanket and be cozy again and not warm. So I love fall. And here we are, the first of November, if you can believe that. And what is November? It always represents Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is in this month. And so then as believers, we kind of tend to get the mindset of Thanksgiving. Oh, that's right. I'm going to thank the Lord more this month. I'm going to have that theme on my heart. I just finished reading, I read it over and over again as the Lord prompts me, but 31 Days of Praise. It's just a little tiny book. I don't know if you've ever read it. I think her name is Ruth Myers who wrote it. And because I've already read all the other things, I just take it from the day one all the way to 31. And I decided to do it in October to just get me going in this mindset. And I love the reminder. And each one is just a little tiny devotion. And she just talks about these things that we can praise and thank the Lord for. And they're not, some of them are not the things that you would think you would want to praise and thank the Lord for, but she writes in such a way that it causes that to stir in your heart. And I love that. So it's appropriate for us to talk about Thanksgiving and then falling in love with Jesus again and again. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. John tells us, we love him because he first loved us. Now, the context of chapter 4, John writes about loving God, about loving one another, and this is the New King James that I was reading out of, but a lot of the other translations, that verse reads, we love because he first loved us, or we love each other because he first loved us. And in the context of the chapter, that seems to be the more accurate translation. Yet, we cannot love at all, including God, unless he has first loved us. He is the one who brings love to life in our hearts. We would have no love at all if it were not for him. We would have no love for anyone, including him, if he did not pour it out in our lives. Romans 5:5 tells us the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You think about that. And I'll probably say, think about that throughout this, because so many times we don't think, we hear and we move on. But think about that pouring out. He poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That is amazing. So again, we could not love him or anyone else without him first loving us, first pouring his love in our hearts. Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrates. Doesn't say demonstrated, but demonstrates. It's a continual current demonstration of his love is when we look to the giving of his son for us, in that while we were still sinners, and we are still sinners. So just those things that we've already spoken of, and that we love him because he first loved us, and that God poured out his love to our hearts and demonstrates his love to us by the giving of his son, that he's given us salvation, and not only salvation through Jesus, but a relationship with him. Not a formal relationship, a stuffy relationship, but a loving relationship with him. If we just leave tonight knowing that, that should stir up love within our hearts to fall in love with him over and over again. Just that one thought about his love toward us. So if you take notes and you like to write down references, I'm going to give you the references to these verses I'm going to read first so that as I read them, you can listen and not be wondering what the reference was, because we tend to do that. Because I want you to hear, maybe like for the first time, these verses and let them really sink in. So the first one is Jeremiah 31:3. Then John 3:16. Ephesians 2:4-7, 1 John 3:1, and 1 John 4:9. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Let that sink into your hearts right now, that he has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness, he draws us. He woos us to himself. It's loving kindness that speaks to our hearts. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, wide open, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. A verse that we all know, memorize, and yet sometimes we don't let that sink in. That he loved the whole world, including you, including me, that he gave the Son, his only Son whom he loves, to die for us. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's a lot right there. He's merciful. He has great love. We were dead in our sin, dead as dead can be, and yet because of Jesus, because of God's love, because of Jesus, he has made us alive together with Christ. He's raised us up, and he already sees us seated in heavenly places. Because he knows the beginning and the end and everything in between, and he already sees us in heaven with him. I mean, if that doesn't stir your heart to love and to love him more, I don't know what will. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. We are called the children of God because of his love. I am called his daughter because he loves me. He is my father, loving, gracious, tender father, and yours too because of his great love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You see his love everywhere. And we could talk all night long about the love that God has for us, what he has done and what he's given Jesus to demonstrate that love. And it's knowing his love and receiving his love, that's the first way we fall in love with him. And that's the emphasis of tonight. That's what he wants us to know, is I want you, daughter, to fall in love with me once again. And then I want you to do that over and over and over again. And as believers, each one of us, when we met Jesus, that moment in time when the light went on and we saw our need for a Savior, and then we saw that Jesus, God's Son, is our Savior, and we prayed that prayer to receive him, to give our lives to him, it's the first moment we fell in love with him. And that love is the love that we need to keep alive. And we need to make or take measures daily so that we do not walk away from that first love, so that we do not leave that first love relationship, so that our love for him does not grow dim or it does not cool off. Now, let me tell you this. It's not a secret. It happens to every single Christian. Every single Christian, I would venture to say more than once in their lifetime of walking with the Lord, their love, my love, your love for him is going to get dimmer at some point. We're fallen people. We're sinners. We don't love the Lord 100%, 100% of the time. So it's common to Christians. Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, and he was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And what he's saying is the command that God gave Moses to give to the children of Israel to tell them and really protect them to love the Lord your God, heart, mind, soul, in other words, your whole being. It's a command. And Jesus is bringing that into the New Testament. This is the Christian life. is to love God first, to love him with everything you have, so that no other love would top it, to keep our love for him at the top each and every day. He deserves our love. Jesus also said in John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That verse is very powerful to me, and it is very humbling to me, and it causes me to stand in awe. And when I was still maybe a fairly new Christian, as in I was probably 5-6 years old in the Lord, which is still a fairly new Christian, I remember reading my Bible and coming across that verse, and it just hit me. As Jesus is saying, as my Father in heaven has loved me, and you just stop and go, wow, okay, how much love does God have for Jesus? Okay, he's got a lot of love for him. And Jesus said, that's how I love you. I remember just being stunned by that. I mean, I knew God loved me, but you're telling me, and you're telling me, Jesus, you love me the same amount? I mean, that just blew me away. So much I had that as my license plate for a number of years, John 15:9, until I didn't want to pay for that anymore, personalized license plate. But I just love that verse. And just think about that. Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you think about it every day. I don't know. But right now, just think about that. Think about how much love God has for his son Jesus. And that then Jesus has that love for you. For you. I mean, that's amazing. And then Jesus says, abide in my love. And that word abide, it means to stay, to continue in. So he's telling us, I want you to stay in my love. Okay, so flip over to Jude, go to the right couple of pages. Jude 21. Jude 21 says to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So Jesus tells us to stay or abide in his love, and Jude is telling us to keep ourselves in the love of God. So this is something that we get to do and something that we need to do, because we can remove ourselves from the place of God pouring his love out on us. Now, of course, sin keeps us from that relationship with the Lord. It keeps us in a dark place. It breaks fellowship with him. You remember when David sinned with Bathsheba, and he didn't confess at all. He waited for months and months before he broke before the Lord. He wrote Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. And he said, when I kept silent, my bones, they were just killing me. I mean, I was just shriveling up. I was dying, because he doesn't want to admit his sin. And it just breaks that fellowship. So we remove ourselves from that place of God pouring his love on us and us having that loving relationship when we are in sin or walk in disobedience in any big or small in any area of our life. So, but how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? And in a way that this is, again, something that we get to do. I get to nurture my relationship with the Lord. So here are some practical things that we can do. I'm probably not going to tell most of you anything new. You already know these things. Perhaps you are doing these things, but it's a good reminder for all of us, including myself. The first one is to take time, to put time into the relationship between you and the Lord. It doesn't just happen. No relationship just happens. Not one. Not one human relationship just happens. We need to be intentional. We need to be disciplined in our relationship. Just as in a friendship, if we neglect that friendship, it loses its intimacy, it loses its strength. We need to be intentional between us and the Lord. It is that it's putting something into it. Look at what he has put into the relationship to have with us. Look at what he's done. God has given his son to us so that we can have relationship with him. He has poured his love out on us. He's forgiven us. He's given us a brand new start. You know, on and on and on. We get to now put something into the relationship to say, thank you so much. This is what I'm going to do to be close to you, to be closer to you. So we need to take that time, put the time, be intentional, disciplined. And one way we can do that is by reading his word and reading more of his word. Probably we all read his word. I hope we read it every single day. There may be some that don't read it every single day, but we need to read that every day because this is his word. He's having a conversation with us. He is revealing himself to us. And he's teaching us through it. And we need to know it. We need to read it. But for those who have walked with the Lord for any length of time, we need to read more, not less. More. The more we grow and the more we older we get and the longer we've walked with the Lord, we need to read more, to learn more about him, and we need to listen to him as we are reading because he's speaking to us. The Word of God is alive. It's powerful. It's God-breathed. Again, it's his word speaking to us. So as we read it, always, 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 we should read it in what does that mean? What does that say? What does it mean to me? What are you communicating with me today, Lord? We could read one certain passage, and 4 days from now, we read that one certain passage, and something just stands out. Because that's what he's speaking to us for that day. It's amazing how the Word of God is and how the Holy Spirit is. But once again, if we are reading less of the Bible now than we had before, there's something wrong. We need to be reading more of it. More and more, it washes our mind. And you just discover so many wonderful things about him. And we get to praise him and thank him for those things. We need to think more. This is keeping ourselves in the love of God. We need to think and meditate on who He is and all that He is and all that He has done, all that He has given to us, because that will cultivate our love for Him more and more. If we don't think about Him, then He's going to get pushed to the back of our mind. And it might seem like a silly thing for us to even really be talking about. Okay, well, so I have my quiet time, and, you know, I read, okay. But if I'm not thinking about Him during the day, that's not a loving relationship. That's not keeping it alive and keeping it intimate, because He knows our thoughts from afar off. So He knows them before we even think about Him. He's thinking about us. Tells us two times in the Bible, and I didn't write down the passages, but that His thoughts for us are more than can be counted for. He's thinking about us. We need to be thinking about Him. And we live in a very busy society, and that busyness keeps us from thinking and meditating. Again, we can get up from our quiet time and race off to do all the tasks that we have laid out that day. And I was thinking about, you know, in the Bible times especially, but even the years just up until, you know, probably, I don't know history that much. It's got to be in the 1800s somewhere in there, when there were no cars. So you walked. You rode a horse. Or you were in a buggy or a cart or something. Do you know how long it takes you to get somewhere when you're walking, when you're riding a horse, and you're not doing it through downtown? You're doing it out nowhere, and the time for thinking and the time for meditating, you have all that time to do that. We don't get that. We have to make that time. We have to discipline our minds to think about Him. And most of us, including me, some days can't even remember what we read in the Bible that morning. And perhaps it's because we didn't meditate on it long enough. And if we did, maybe we would remember. And I'm pointing the finger to myself too. We need to praise and thank the Lord each day. And He is certainly praiseworthy. Psalm 116, 1 through 2. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. Psalm 18, 1 and 3, 1 through 3. I will love you, Lord, O Lord. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, just those two verses. There's so much to praise and thank the Lord for. I love you, Lord. You've heard my voice. You hear my prayers. Thank you. I praise you for that. So there's a million spiritual blessings. Just read the first chapter of Ephesians every day. I mean, it's talking about those spiritual blessings that we've been given. We can praise and thank Him for those. We can praise and thank Him for the practical things. I love that. You see, the little things. I remember when we first got married, we were given a washing machine that didn't work that well, according to the person who gave it to me. And it had like 145 buttons on there. I don't know what you did with all of them. I just hit one, and that was enough for me. And that washing machine lasted me about 25 years. And I remember going out into my garage saying, Lord, thank you. And I would do it every time I threw a load of laundry in. Thank you that you have kept this thing going. I mean, this is amazing. She was going to throw it away. And I got it 25 years ago, you know, just to thank him for little things, the spiritual things and the practical things. So this is always a good month. Maybe you don't like to do this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. We're on November 1st. Write down one thing that you praise and thank the Lord for. Tomorrow you write down another one, and you write the whole month of November, and you get we have 30 days, right? Not 31. 30 things to praise and thank him for just in this month. And then the other thing we need to do is talk to him more. Tells us to pray without ceasing, and that's all that is just talking to him all day, every day. We have our quiet time. We have our intercession time. You know, we get down to business in prayer. These are my needs. These are the needs of my family, my friends, you know, on and on and on. But we carry that throughout the day in just having a conversation. You are never, ever alone, ever. You have a constant friend and intercessor and lover and savior right there with you all day long. Talk to him all day long. So these four things: read more, think and meditate more, praise and thank more, and talk to him. They're not hard things. These are, again, things that we know that to do, and we do them, but we do need to be reminded, and he wanted to remind us tonight. We all need exhortation and encouragement to grow in them, because we might think, well, I'm doing all those things. Well, I think that's great, and I say that to myself. Go ahead and grow. Go ahead and love him more. Just go ahead. I like what Spurgeon says. He said, set God's loving kindness before your eyes. Think of his faithfulness. God's loving kindness never pauses. It is as constant as the flight of time. Never a moment, but there has been love for that moment. Never an hour, but there has been that hour's portion of loving kindness. You have often forgotten the Lord, but he has never forgotten you. You have failed 10,000 times, but he has never failed you. If he had dealt with you justly and not graciously, he would have long ago divorced you from his heart. But you are precious to him now as forever, and you will be precious to him when heaven and earth passes away. Never let any forgetfulness, negligence, or delay be in your gratitude or in the obedience that springs from it. How can we not love him more who has never done any wrong and never done us wrong or failed us? And how can we not love him more who has only done good in our lives? And how can we not love him more who loves us with a perfect and unconditional love? Let's think about those things. Meditate on those things. You just think on one of those things. One thing that we talked about tonight, just pick one. Meditate on that. You'll fall in love with him over again. He not only permits us, but he gives us access to come before him. He actually desires it, which is amazing to me. He desires your fellowship, and he desires my fellowship, our worship, prayers. His desire is for us. Just as the Shunammite said in Song of Solomon, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. His banner over me is love. Someone said that you should allow your, God should allow your creature to have fellowship with you is wonderful enough, but that you can desire it, that it gives you satisfaction and joy and pleasure is almost too much for my understanding. And I just think of that and I just say, my cup runneth over. Look at that he wants. He likes me. He loves me. He wants to be with me. He wants to talk with me. He, for some reason, there's something there that he loves. Isn't that wonderful? It's just great. And these thoughts alone should cause us to fall more in love with Jesus over and over and over again each day. And Father, I pray that this message would be a reminder of your great love for us, and that it would stir our hearts, Lord. It would fan that flame that may have grown dim or cold or whatever. Lord, you know where each one of us is in our relationship with you. And Father, we just look to you. We tell you thank you. Praise you for who you are, for what you've done, for what you have done in each one of our personal lives. Thank you that you desire fellowship with us, Lord. We love you over and over and over again. Let's stand and close in a song.